Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell, and of course DK in the back running the show. And of course, we are here with you live following the completion of the Steelers-Bills game. And now we have a picture of, we know exactly who the Ravens will be playing in the division round, where and when. So that's what we're here mainly to talk about. But of course, we'll also fill you in on all the Ravens news that's been happening in the last couple days, and just give our quick initial reaction on the upcoming matchup. But Jimbo, how you doing down there? It's getting a little, a little snowy out there. Nothing crazy, but it's awfully cold.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the difference is between down there and up, or down here and up there. We got, I don't know, maybe a little over an inch or so.
We're only like 15 minutes away from each other.
I mean, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering what yours is looking like in comparison to.
I was a little surprised how much is sticking on the
Yeah, because you're saying, like, just like you said, it's real cold right now.
Yeah, real cold. We'll have to see what the good. The school situation tomorrow might be a little bit crazy, but I'll have to wait and see. But Jimbo, you go into this game, right? You go into this game knowing it's either the Houston Texans, who had a big time win, a surprisingly dominant win over a Cleveland Browns team that came into it with the number one rated defense. It's certainly didn't look like that as the game went on, but you came into this Steelers game, which was postponed due to the weather, knowing it's either the Texans or the Steelers.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for in this Bills game?
Yeah. I wanted to see as weird as it is, I was rooting for the Steelers, not because I'm scared of the Bills. I'm really not, but because I wanted to see the Steelers again, have them take the trip back down 95. I'm doubt that they actually drive it. They fly it, but take a trip on down into BWI and just to come get spanked and head back out to Pittsburgh for the divisional week. But, you know, that was a long shot anyway. I think we all knew that. You got Mason Rudolph under center there in tough conditions and, you know, a rowdy crowd against a good football team with one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's what I was rooting for. I'm guessing it was probably the same for you.
Yeah, I was hoping to right that bit of that small little wrong along this glorious season and being swept by the Steelers. But I like you said, long shot. So I went into this game fully expecting what happened to happen and started already preparing myself for the potential matchup, the rematch from week one in playing the Houston Texans, led by what some are calling the greatest rookie season a quarterback's had. I think that's a bit hyperbole, but I mean, what do you think? Like when you saw what he did this past weekend, and we're going to get into some, because there are some transaction notes that we're going to get into in a second, but just your initial reaction of what you saw from the Texans in beating a very good Browns defense.
Yeah. I mean, they got firepower for sure. Mm-hmm. They got playmakers and they can get chunk plays. I'm not overly concerned in general. I mean, my theme has kind of just been that it's really about us and our ability to execute, but yeah, they got firepower. They got an excited team. They got an excited coach. They're pretty juiced up. So, yeah, I think the biggest thing, honestly, as much as their defense, that Browns defense didn't look great, Joe just wasn't January Joe. I mean, he threw, what, two pick sixes?
Yeah, man, back-to-back drives, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was bad. And, you know, those are not just seven-point swings, right? Like, those are more than six, because you're giving up and you're allowing points. Yeah, I mean, the Texans look good. I think when I think about it, I think of the Texans win. The Texans win, the Chiefs win, and the Bills win. The most impressive is the Texans win, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. With that being said, still, you know, you got a 38-year-old quarterback Joe did great, and he didn't play like January Joe. He's still, you know, a month and a half removed from being on the couch. So, it just kind of is what it is, right? So, yeah, great win for them, staple win for them, but I'm not concerned.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I feel like this team's a year early, but, man, did they deal it with their draft, with their head coach hire? I mean, you got to give Houston credit. They should not – like, nobody picked Houston to be where they are.
Nobody.
And to win a playoff game, nonetheless, I mean, that's impressive. Now, they did have some injury issues, particularly to the pass catchers in, you know, the last – few weeks of the regular season and then another one this past weekend. So it's going to be a challenge for them, but I also wanted to get your take.
Man, what do you think Brandon Cooks is thinking about? You know, he screamed and cried and pouted until he got his way out of Houston.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Now he's at home.
The disaster that happened in Dallas yesterday. I mean, to lose to the youngest team to ever make the playoffs and led by a quarterback who's making his playoff debut and to be embarrassed. I mean, and then that defense, I mean, letting guys run completely wide open, blown assignments left and right. Like the way it happened was absolutely shocking. Massey says, I was on holiday in Africa. Did I miss the best football Ravens played since 19? Which December win better, Niners or Fins? Well, I got to go Niners there as far as the second part.
Because it meant more. I mean, the Fins, they wrecked them, right, as far as, you know, points put up and stuff like that. I mean, they put it hurting on the Niners too. But, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, the Niners were favored in that game. They were the favorite.
Right, like 9, right?
No, it was only like 4.5, if I remember correctly. But we were the favorite and at home against the Fins. But both dominant wins, big-time, impressive statement wins. But I got to rank the Niners just ahead. I appreciate the super chat, Massey. Appreciate it. Massey's with another.
Yeah, Massey says, Browns fans partly blaming Week 17 rest for ruining their momentum, their defense, and Flacco had. Do you agree? No, I don't. Yeah, if anything, I think if I was the Browns, I would be happy that Joe has an opportunity to get more mental reps and more preparation and all those things. Anyway, so no, I don't blame that. You can blame whatever you want. It always seems to be the team that loses that blames it on the bye.
Blame it. Blame it because that's all you got. No, absolutely. Yeah. Blame it up. That's fine. I was pretty shocked to see old Joe play the way he did. Very, very surprised to see those those turnovers in the playoffs.
Not very Joe-like. Not that Joe doesn't turn the ball over. Like, traditionally, Joe turns the ball over, but he doesn't do it at that clip in the playoffs, usually.
Yeah, with pick six.
Now, DK said, not hyperbole, the guy was in the MVP conversation for a hot second, of course, talking about CJ Stroud. It's true. No, he's played very well. He's played very well. But I think that lots of people say this, and I think it's true. There's simply levels to this thing, right? And I think the Ravens are the top of the top. So just
want to see.
You got to ascend the mountain and take down the, you know, the king of the hill before you can really start pounding your chest.
Yep. Now the Ravens did find out that not only they're playing the Texans, but of course that the game will be at 4:30 on Saturday, which if they were going to play the Steelers, they would have had an extra day. Do you think this is at all, at all a detriment that they're playing one day sooner?
No, we've been off for
Gotcha. Okay.
Know what I mean? It's just
asking. Lamar
hasn't played football in what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, yeah, no, I think.
Well, he will once he gets there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they're rearing and ready to go. So, I'm not worried about it.
Okay. All right. Now I got some transactions
here. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. Yep.
All right, so the Ravens made some moves. First and foremost, the thing that had internet just a buzz yesterday or the day before was Mark Andrews back at practice, out there running drills and doing positional stuff, not out there roughing up with his teammates, but on the field in uniform. Is this going to happen here, Jimbo? Is Mark Andrews going to make his return for the playoffs?
Yeah, I hate to burst anyone's bubble that's holding out hope. I don't think it's this game. I do think he comes back. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the AFC Championship game. I still think that would be early, but I wouldn't be surprised. But okay. I don't think it's this game. As awesome as that would be, as big of a boost that would be, I think he's a little too early. But I'm glad to see that he's out there moving around doing his thing. I mean, it's exciting for Ravens fans.
And so you think he's AFC Championship or Super
Bowl? I think so. Yeah, I think that AFC Championship is – I think it's more likely than not that he suits up the AFC Championship. Because I think Mark's Mark's the type of guy that, like, and I totally respect, I like to think that I'm this type of person where, depending on the scenario and the context, it's like, okay, well, this is what I've worked my whole life for. It's not promised that we'll get back here. If I lose out on something later on because of further injury, this is what it was all for anyway, right? Like, if I got a chance, screw it.
This might be my only chance. You never know.
It's never promised, right? So F it. Let's just body be damned. Like, let's just go after it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that's a good point. Everybody has to make that decision on their own, obviously. It's their bodies. But let's just hope that he's just healthier than a lot of those timetables would have led us to believe. Because, man, now let me ask you this, because, and this isn't my question, but this is a question I've heard people ask me and I've seen floated about on social media. There are some saying that with the arrival of Isaiah Likely and what he's done since Mark's been out, some are saying they're concerned that Mark Andrews' return to the lineup, it may not be, maybe a detriment, because we might see Isaiah Likely be relegated back to a backup role and not see targets, and they don't want to see that. So what's your take on how the Ravens use Mark once he's back, and will that negatively impact Isaiah Likely's production?
Yeah, I think that question's rubbish. I just do. I mean, I think at the end of the day,
Hold on. I asked the – no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, you said it wasn't your question. That's the only reason I answered so aggressively.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, or else I would have been nicer. That's funny. But literally, that's the only reason I answered it that way. But I don't have a concern about that, because I think Mark is, one, as a character, like as far as who he is as a person, Mark is the ultimate teammate. I think everyone knows that. It's all about the win. So if he has to go out there and be nothing but a decoy and somehow Isaiah Likely goes off, great. But I don't care, because it's all about getting the dub, right? I don't care who gets it, how, and whatever that looks like. I don't care about anyone's future development. I don't care about any of that, because the playoffs now, it's not one eye in the future and one eye in the present. It's both eyes in the present. Like, this is it. So if Mark is our best offensive weapon outside of Lamar Jackson, and he's healthy enough to be that guy, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I just think I want all the best guys out there, whatever that looks like.
It looks like John's saying that the argument is that Lamar then force feeds the ball to Andrews, and since he's been
gone well for a long time,
he spread the ball around more. So that has been part of the.
And let me also add to this: early on, even when Mark was injured, he still was getting the ball at a lesser clip than previous seasons. He was getting the ball a lot in the red zone, but that's because it's Mark Andrews. Like, he's our best option in the red zone. But certainly, even before that, he was getting the ball a lot less in comparison to dispersed, like, historically, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not too concerned about it. Are you concerned about some force feeding by Lamar?
No. I think this is, a lot of fans are remembering when he was our only legitimate weapon in the pass game. And I always say this, because we watch the Ravens with such a magnifying glass, that we don't realize that this is very normal across the board. Remember when we played the Chargers, Jimbo, and I pointed out the target share for Keenan Allen versus the rest of his teammates?
That was insane.
I mean, like 100 more targets than second place. Like Kelsey, the same way. Like, you go down the list, there's always a guy, if it's a successful offense, that gets the bulk of the targets. In this offense, even when Mark was there, I'd argue that person was Zay Flowers. I mean, and not Mark Andrews in this season.
That's true.
I certainly would welcome Mark Andrews coming back. I think it would be nothing but a benefit, because, like you said, Jimbo, if nothing else, he'll command attention. And I don't see Isaiah Likely being, you know, given a clipboard and asked to sit on the sideline. I think that they'll play together.
Not an idiot.
That's right. And I think they'll just use more two tight end sets. I think it would very much so impact Kohler's snap count, but I don't think anyone's crying about Charlie Kohler getting more snaps.
Only Tyler Huntley
coming back. Yeah. There we go. Exactly. So
now I got a question for you though, Glenn.
Yeah. What's up?
So I see some people talking about this in comments a little bit, and I've heard some other folks also Ravens fans. Once again, not a question of mine. So be as belligerent as you want towards the answer.
Okay.
But oh, there you go. Got a thumbs up for that one. Now that you've seen the Chiefs, they take care of business.
Yeah.
Patty Mahomes turns into the Iron Man, breaks his helmet. He's Superman and looks great, right? This question is absolutely going to be loaded only because of me, but he beat a not good football team.
Oh, here we go.
The Bills, of course, you know, Josh Allen comes out of the booth looking like Superman, right? Because he beats the Steelers, who have a guy who was 4 months ago going to sell real estate with his daddy down in South Carolina, decide to play under center, right? And so what I'm trying to say is that now people are getting nervous. They're like scared about these two teams, right? And everybody's hopping on the bandwagon and all the commentators are pumping these guys up. But like, where are you now that you've seen these guys play in the postseason when it comes to your nervousness about them playing against the Ravens. I know I'm looking ahead. We still got to take care of business with the Texans. But, you know, where are you now with the other, you know, the top three quarterbacks? I guess they're all CJ Stroud. You got to throw them in there. But if you're talking about Mahomes and Lamar and oh my gosh, Josh Allen, like, has any of your feelings changed after watching these games towards your nervousness to play against these teams?
No. Very confident still playing any of these teams. I mean, you always have to realize that when Pat Mahomes is on the football field, especially in the playoffs, that, you know, you got to give that guy the respect he's earned and deserves. And so it's not going to be an easy matchup, but nothing right. In the playoffs has made me go, ooh, they've gotten it together all of a sudden. Like, I don't look at it like that one bit. I do worry how much the weather could be an issue. Like, it seems like the weather was a huge issue in all the AFC matchups, and weather can always be an equalizer. So that's the only thing that's given me a little bit of pause is like, well, it's always a little scarier when there's weather going to be involved, because you just never know how the ball is going to bounce. Especially if there's rain and there's wetness on the ball. I mean, that makes me a little nervous, but nothing that the teams have done has made me concerned. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. All right, good. I'm glad you're feeling that way as well. Like, nothing that I saw made me nervous about playing any of these guys. Now, really quickly, though, I realized that I kind of knocked you off course with the transaction stuff, and we didn't fully get through it. So I do want to go back to that. DK actually has a tweet loaded up. So the Ravens, of course, have placed Demario Williams, a.k.a. Pepe, on IR, and Wade Laquan Treadwell, who was – treading water anyway, and then the last game, you know, didn't go well for him. I think he had a drop or two, so, you know, not a surprise there. But what that does is that opens up two spots for the Baltimore Ravens to fill. Now, we've got some new guys in Dalvin Cook, but there's some other names. Talk me through how you think this is going to go, Glenn.
Yeah, no doubt. So, like you mentioned, when Laquan and Demario Williams are now off the active roster, it does free up two spots. So the question is, who fills those two spots? The most obvious choice that most are predicting is that Dalvin Cook, who's currently on the practice squad, would get signed to the active roster. However, he could also be a game day elevation from the practice squad and then revert back. So he doesn't necessarily have to be signed to the active roster, if my understanding of those elevations is correct. But Devin Duvernay has also been activated and is currently practicing in his 3-week window to return, where he has to be activated or revert back to IR. So he's also a very logical choice for the Ravens, and looks good, says, you know, it looks like he's ready to go. So a lot of people are saying he's the guy that's definitely going to get activated. Well, what does that mean for Ardarius Washington, who also is in the middle of his practice window after being activated off the IR, who I think the Ravens would welcome back, would be a huge addition in the slot. He was having a fantastic preseason. I think a lot of people were expecting a big role for him before the injury. He's back, and so the question is, do they activate him? Or if Mark Andrews is ready, then he's going to have to take a spot. So you currently have four guys: Mark Andrews, Ardarius Washington, Devin Duvernay, and Dalvin Cook, and only two active roster spots remaining. So let's see what DK puts up here. Practice squad players can be elevated to the active game day roster an unlimited amount of times during the postseason, though teams are still limited to two elevations per week. Perfect. Okay. So Dalvin doesn't need to be signed to the active roster because he's on the practice squad, can be elevated game day, no harm, no foul. But does that mean that Ardarius Washington and Devin Duvernay are definitely going to be signed to the active roster? Because you predicted Mark Andrews won't be ready till at least another week.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I think Pepe might be done for the season, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
So is it Ardarius and
oh, shoot. Jeez Louise. I meant Ardarius. I think Ardarius might. I think it's Devin and Dalvin.
Well, Dalvin doesn't have to be active. Devin doesn't have to be signed to the active roster because he can be elevated on game day as a preseason.
Oh, right. Then, yeah, I guess that does make sense. It would be those two for sure. I mean, okay. Yeah, I don't think Mark's ready. I think by a miracle, Mark would play, right?
Gotcha.
Don't you think so? I mean, yeah. I haven't heard anything, and we don't necessarily have sources on it, and our sources haven't given us a ton of information on it. So, yeah, I think that's just what it's going to be. And I think that's good. I think as far as an impact, Duvernay will have an impact. He is the former All-Pro, right? And I think our Darius, we need guys back there. Our secondary's been banged up. I know we've had time to get healthy, but it'll be exciting to get our Darius, who was having a good season back there, just to get another guy that can get hands on the football, rotate in and out, give him different looks in the slot. He's relatively versatile as a player. So that'll be another exciting piece for McDonald to get back. So, yeah, I think it'll end up being those two.
Yeah, he'll add a little extra speed, I think, to the backfield as well with that. With Keaton Mitchell out, it's been like a lot of Zay Flowers been doing a lot of the gadget stuff as well. And this will give another body who can do some of those things and I think take a little workload off of Zay, who's going to be getting a ton of targets as is. But yeah, I'm excited to see what Ardarius can do. Hopefully he's out there and able to make an impact. And my hope is that everyone just stays healthy. That way they can put him in a role where he can really shine. Cause I think if they can put that guy in specific areas where he can, you know, show what he can do well and they can kind of mask some of his deficiencies, man, I think he could be a sneaky big time player in this postseason run. Especially against the Texans team, who's going to look to air it out. I mean, this is a team that wants to get the ball down the field, wants to pick up chunk plays, and I think any good corners would certainly be welcome. But go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you a question. You're talking about like sneaky impact players, and I think some people there's varying expectations of what Dalvin Cook could do. I think it's fair to say that even you and I were like, "Yeah, what is he actually going to be?" Right. But it's also hard not to ignore that he's got 4,000-yard seasons consecutive under his belt and that the Jets' offensive line is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, man, you know what? This whole time, Glenn, I'm on the wrong audio.
Let me hear it. Let me hear the change.
Oh, my gosh.
Using Hold the on. Wrong audio this whole time. Dude, we got to get you some headphones that don't have a Here microphone. That way you can't be in the wrong audio.
Yeah, seriously. Hold on.
Here we go. You're going to hear the difference in his voice. It's going to blow your mind, ladies and gentlemen. And now we got nothing.
How's that?
Oh, see what you were missing, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, that's right. Got. Does my voice sound really bassy now? No, I'm kidding.
It does.
no, but I'm just curious, like, how you... Is there any truth to just simply context and situations that Dalvin Cook was in that, you know, manifested in the worst season since his rookie year? Or you think he's really just done?
Well, I'm hoping it's just situation, because I can't imagine being motivated when your quarterback, the savior of your franchise, gets hurt on the first drive. And you know, the whole team knows that you're stuck with a quarterback who they wanted out of there, who they knew. The organization knew, the fan base knew, and certainly the teammates knew that he wasn't the guy to get them to the promised land. So that initial shock's got to be pretty jarring. And I know what you know, people say they get paid millions. Be a professional, and I get that. But you can't tell me that doesn't take a knock to your motivation level to get up every morning and come out and try to you know make things happen. So I think motivation's a big point. The offense around him, the fact that they could load a box knowing that you can't back a guy off, I think there's a lot of things involved. And they had a young guy who's running his ass off and Breece Hall that's ahead of him. My only hope is that he's rejuvenated, his legs are fresh, and the fact that he's a three-down back. So any way you need help, if you need help from a pass protection standpoint, put him in there. If you need help at goal line, you can put him there. If you need a guy that can catch the ball in the backfield, he can help you in any way you need help. It's not like you're bringing a guy who's a goal line back off the street who can only help you in that. Or you're bringing in a blocking guy who can help you on some third down, can catch the ball, can block a little, but ain't running between the tackles. This guy can help you any way you need it, at least in theory. Let's just hope that, like I said before, that you know a lot of his shortcomings this year were in production were due to the team around him and the situation.
Yeah, I mean, and then I just feel like he didn't, honestly, like they weren't going to, you know, once Aaron went down, it wasn't about win now. So I think they wanted to establish the young guys. And, you know, I mean, how much look was Dalvin even going to get, right? I don't know if it was just about, oh, you're more worn out than we thought, as much as it was like, well, let's get these guys, you know, get some reps under their belt and get these guys going. That way we can be prepared for next year type thing. I'm hoping that it's that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's hope. We're going to find out, because I think he's definitely going to get some snaps. and he'll have a chance to either.
You know, Melvin Gordon is the has the most. He's the number one non quarterback when it comes. He's number one in the league in fumbles outside of quarterbacks.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I knew he had a lot, but dude, come on.
I mean, it's not many people who get that many opportunities,
right?
To keep fumbling, like usually you fumble a few times and you're done. I mean, but he had enough talent to keep getting opportunities to fumble the ball.
Crazy.
But yeah, he might be out of those opportunities. Shout out to Laney, baby. What's up, 410 Sports Talk? Can I get a Laney, baby? Absolutely, Laney. That's my boy. Appreciate your support. Appreciate the super chat, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
Any other thoughts as a whole on the Super Wild Card weekend, other than that the games were relatively disappointing outside of the Rams Lions game?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. That Puka Nacua, man. Puka Nacua is something else, dude. Like somebody asked in the chat earlier, is Zay Flowers the rookie of the year? It's gonna go to CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud, yeah.
You know, he's a quarterback and he's had a fantastic year. But in my opinion, Puka Nacua has done this year, he's broken every meaningful rookie record. He just broke the postseason rookie record.
Yeah.
Everything he could, like what more could you do as a rookie receiver than what Puka did? And he still won't win it. And I get that. But man, that dude is good. Like he is so good. It's unbelievable. Yeah. He was a fifth round rookie. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wild that he dropped that far.
Yeah. And also another thing is Bill Belichick definitely going to be a Cowboy. Like, is there any chance?
Really? You think so?
Dude, because I said he's going to go to one of these old owners. He's going to go to Arthur Blank in Atlanta. He's going to go to Davis in Vegas. But once I saw that debacle, Jerry Jones is done messing around.
Yeah.
He's going to go out there thinking, if I get this guy, the most accomplished coach in history, will finally get over the hump. Little does he know, he's wrong because it's not going to save him. But, man. To me, it's like Bill's definitely going to be.
And he's going to bring McDaniel down with him.
Dude, just bring do the all AARP coaching staff. Get Pete Carroll in there. Get Nick Saban in there. Who else is old? Bring him in too. We'll have them all. But
reverse ageism.
Exactly. And then how does Dan Quinn walk in to Seattle and get the head coach after absolutely getting obliterated by the youngest team in the history to ever make the playoffs?
Yeah.
And you let him drop a perfect quarterback rating on you in your own backyard?
Yeah.
Woo! I'd be rethinking things if I was Seattle.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. Oof. I like Pete Carroll.
Shout out to Ing Raven in the chat. Our guy says, what's up, Jay and James and Glenn? Gotta save them characters. Much different Texans team, but much different Ravens as well. Yeah, certainly. I mean, both teams are completely different from where they were week one. I do think, little sneak preview here, the result's gonna be the same, but many differences between the week one teams and where we're at now.
I think the cool thing about both teams is that they have a new head coach and essentially a whole new coaching staff and new team and everything like that. So there's been a lot of growth throughout the season. But you could say the same about the Ravens in that these are, this offensively speaking, this Monken's offense looks so different now and is so much better now, much more evolved now than it was week one, just because he's also a first-year coordinator. So I think there's excitement in that, right? And kind of seeing this thing come full circle and see these guys play each other. But I agree. I think the gap in the score is still the same because they got better and we also got better. So the difference stayed the same. We just both got better.
It's like, look, I brought Connect 4 into my house. I bought it and I started playing my wife and I beat her a couple times and she packed up the box and she put it away. I said, why'd you put it right away? We just started. She said, look, I'm going to keep getting better. Sure. But you're going to keep getting better too. And we're both starting like this. I'm never going to catch you. So I think it's just like you said, Jimbo.
Yeah,
they got better, but we got better too. So they didn't close the gap. And she knew she's not closing the gap in Connect 4. It's over. So she retired from the game after three tries.
For some reason, I have this image of Katie just grabbing one of the little tokens, you know, and going, thump, and just right in the forehead. Yeah.
That's just right. You know. See, look, she's in the chat. She saw the future.
I get it.
She knew where it was headed.
She took her ball and went home. Hey, at least she gave it more than one. I'll take
Jimbo,
your picture.
You see that, Jimbo? You see that?
My wife just bought that.
Dude, do you remember the look that I received from both of them when I was cheating?
Yes.
Oh. That was the look of divorce. We both got that look. I mean, it was pretty insane. But look, they're better drawing.
Yeah, it's not even close.
And I guessed better, I guess, because I looked over and was like, boom, I guessed right away. That was a good night.
Oh, that was a good time.
That was a good one. But yeah, I mean, this was a not necessarily the most competitive games, but certainly compelling. And the ones that weren't competitive were the opposite way that they were expected to not be competitive. So they were still interesting in that regard.
Yeah, because they were unexpected.
It wasn't like the blowouts we were expecting. Yeah. So big weekend this weekend, obviously. It's super excited to see the Texans coming into town. Congratulations to them. Obviously, this is a big time winning season. I mean, what they've done already is pretty impressive. It ends this Saturday, but what they've done so far, Jimbo, has been damn impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait, man. I have no fear after watching any of these teams this weekend. The Ravens, look, we are the absolute gatekeepers, right? Like, I don't know a better comparison for this because ultimately Mordor falls, but like, dude, it seems you're lining up at the gates of Mordor, right? But then, you know, and this ain't Frodo walking up in here, dude. Like, it's going to end bad for certainly the Texans. And I feel like a few other teams, it's just not going to be good. The gates of hell are about to open up on some of these teams. I'm looking forward to just basking in all of it.
Yep. And guys, we will be back quickly. Of course, we will get you prepared for this game in every way possible, making sure we break down this matchup and, you know, kind of all the key areas that we'll be looking for. We'll do our offensive and defensive players of the game predictions. We'll do our keys to the game on both sides of the football. And of course we have our playoff competition after the regular season. People's champ took them down. We're going to go in and Jimmy's going to see, and DK is going to see if they can have their revenge in the postseason. We're going to see, but I got a feeling the people's champ's going to come out on top once again.
I'm looking forward to it either way. So join us tomorrow night. And of course, like Glenn said, all preparations for this upcoming divisional game. But that's it for us tonight, folks. We'll talk to you guys in 24 hours.
That's right. See ya.
See ya. Ah!